Well, a kid just sang my talk, and you know, kid, pardon me. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember the first song that I heard you play back in the days when we first met each other. But I think this must have been this song may have been the first one that I heard from you, where I just went, well, holy cow, who is this woman? And where does she get this beautiful inspiration? And this song never fails to move me. So thank you for bringing it to us today. And of course, Jeff and Masumi just made it even better. So thank you. Yes, thank you. You know, preparing for this this Sunday, it's become very apparent to me how important it is for us to acknowledge and pay attention to the words that we say. And you experience every Sunday people who have volunteered to use their words to enhance your experience here. I want you just to think about that for a moment. Because we have greeters, you can't get in a door of this church without there being a greeter to greet you warmly and to welcome you with a lot of gratitude for you being here. So there's that. Not everybody is called to the public speaking part of this, but we have a whole corral of people. I'm using that because we're in Central Texas here, but we have people like Stuart who like to platform and bring the words about our community to you and to facilitate us speaking our words about who we are. And then we have our daily word readers. You know, anybody can be a daily word reader. You come up here and you know what you do? You read the daily word. You don't have to make anything up. It's there, but you notice today that Jan brought her whole heart when she read the daily word to you. And then we have our chaplains who not only pray with you before and after the service, but they set the tone for what's coming next in the service with their words. You'll find people in the kitchen and kids running around who have joyful words. And then, of course, the element of words is elevated whenever we sing them, because now we've added a different vibratory level to our words. So they're very important. And especially in the time that we're living right now, courtesy with our words is being lost. We're influenced by everything around us. And I just want to reassure you that it is okay if you choose to have polite and friendly and loving words with others and no other kind. Okay? If you get into a discussion with someone and your views are not the same, unless that discussion can be had with courtesy and respect for each other, then I suggest these words. Let us agree to disagree. Bye-bye. And namaste. And you have to mean it when you say namaste. Not like, yeah, and namaste to you. Because then you kind of like, you've like zeroed out what namaste is all about. So there's the word and then there's the intention. And you know, here in the below the Mason-Dixon line, we can say bless your heart and it can be a true blessing. or not. Yes, and I have used those words with not the best intention behind them at times. Oh my goodness. Bless my heart. You know that this month we're also honoring Black History Month. And if you were here last Sunday, you got to hear the words in person, more or less, from YouTube, of the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, who was one of the first African-American minister ordained in Unity back in the 1950s. And she was the first person to live, first Black person to live on the grounds of Unity Village. And the only reason they let her live there is because she threatened to leave ministerial school if they didn't. So she started a movement that is essential and vital to our entire movement. And there was someone else that's has been in the public eye that learned from Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, and I'd like to share her with you today. I borrowed this talk title from this person and her radio show. The Reverend Della Reese Lett had a program, and it was called Watch Your Mouth. Della Reese, if you're not familiar with her, was in Touched by an Angel. And so you know her presence, and look at that beautiful, beautiful spirit that shines through her face and her eyes. She's one of the many students of Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman who later created their own churches for New Thought teaching. In 1987, Della Reese Lett founded the Understanding Principles for Daily Living Church. They called it the UP Up Church in Los Angeles, starting with 8 people in her living room. She died in 2017 at the age of 86, still teaching truth. What follows is an excerpt from her Unity Online radio show, Hello, Reverend Della speaking, first broadcast on January 19th of 2011. Her show aired for a year, and those episodes are available for listening under the archive shows at unityonlineradio.org. So I'd like to read to you these words because they're the kernel of what we're speaking about today. Pardon me. I want to give you some fantastic information today. I want to teach you to watch your mouth. Your power and my power is located at the root of the tongue. That's our power zone. If you're not sure about all that, just look up chakras and look for power, and you'll find that it's right here. And the voice is the most direct avenue of expression. All words are formative, but not all words are creative. We use our words to form things we really don't want, when we could and should use them to create what we do want. Charles Fillmore said, and I agree with him totally, the more we are quickened with spiritual faith, the more our words are endowed with power. God said, let there be, and there was. We are made in the image likeness of God, and it is possible for us to connect ourselves with our spirituality and speak the words that supply our needs, our desires, our ambitions. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me, and it ought to be good enough for you. The spoken word hammers the things you desire into shape. Isn't that a great sentence? The spoken word hammers the things you desire into shape. It then forms the visible substance in accordance with the picture you have in your mind. Every word you utter makes an imprint in the astral ethers, and your word gives the universe a specific pattern by which to create what it is you want and bring it from the invisible into the visible. We identify ourselves with what we attach the I am to. And I mean, just think of those in all capital letters. Whatever we identify ourselves with, we manifest, we bring forth. So let's take, for example, when you say, I am so tired, you are really saying, I'm calling on my spiritual identity, my piece of God, to make me tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to thank Reverend Della from, you know, to wherever she is. Thank you. Thank you for that one. When you feel that way, tired, I mean, you need to say, I have energy. I am rested. My body is in a peaceful place. I am getting stronger all the time. And you are putting your spirituality to work for you. We have a tendency in this society to make conversation. There's something about the stillness that frightens us. We must fill up that void. Well, know this. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we must learn to speak only those words we want to manifest in our lives. Well, that kind of takes our whole approach to daily living to a different level, doesn't it? And you know, all that we do here on Sundays and in our classes is identify those things with which we struggle in our daily lives or for which we are unconscious, and we remember to bring those things to the surface so that we might live more mindfully, more deliberately, more creatively. Yesterday, we trained three new chaplains, Kit and I did, and they'll be introduced to you more formally in a ceremony a little later on this month or in March. And a lot of what we talked about is the way we use our words. And one of the things that we did yesterday is what we don't want to do in prayer. So I wrote the word ask and put a circle around it and a line through it. Because when we ask God for something with our words, we're acting as if that thing is not already present in God's universe. So you can be very, very sincere in your ask, but know that that is only the identification for that which you think you need. The power comes in affirming that it's already present and not yet visible. I want you to raise your hand if you think that there is an issue in anybody's life that does not have a resolution. Thank you. I thought that's what you would do. But it's hard for us to remember that when we're in the midst of something that doesn't appear to have a resolution. And so we begin to affirm that the resolution is at hand. Everything in our universe that is needed for us is there and has not yet manifest in a way that is visible to us. And a lot of times, if we are so deliberate, we could bring into our lives something maybe that we don't want, like she said. Hello? Got my attention. So it's kind of a fine balance. You may have a specific material object in mind that you want. What we really want ever, ever, ever is God. That's all we really want. Everything that we seek is really more of God. And our acknowledgement that it's already present helps us move into alignment with that which we can then see, which we can then experience. And sometimes it is far beyond the things that we had imagined previously. We can allow ourselves to be delighted and surprised by the abundance of the universe. Have you not been disappointed at some turn in your life only to find out that the next thing that happened was so much better than that you had originally thought would come your way? So isn't that a lovely thing that we can begin to affirm that this is already present? Now, if this is a new concept to you, I invite you just to open your mind and heart to it. Because God is either everywhere, all the time, present, or not. There's not an in-between place. And I know you've heard me say this before. Oh, God is here, but God's not in this situation. It's pretty clear. Because we think we know what God looks like. Well, first of all, God looks like every one of you. And those kids back here. And these teenagers over here. That God looks like that. God looks like the people you don't like. God looks like the situations you love in a beautiful sunrise and a beautiful sunset, and birds and whales and all that good stuff. Your dog. I mean, sometimes my pathway to God in the morning is my Westie Winston's face. You know? He's like, oh, yay, you woke up again today and I'm so happy. You came out of the bathroom. Yay. Yeah. Just like, I love you too, you know? They do a good job of loving us, don't they? So maybe we could become as little children. Maybe we could become as dogs, you know? That innocent, ever-present love. That place that's just outside the realm of the angels, just overlapping a little bit. What if we dwelt there? So you can see God in those things, but it's also important for us to see God in the chaos. And it's important for us to be able to speak things that balance the chaos. Now, I'm not saying never complain. Because that, I think, is an impossible thing for a human being to achieve. And that's not I just trapped myself. I think it's possible. I don't know that it's probable. There are times when something gets on you. Or you get on it and you won't let go. You're going to ride that bull all the way to the ground. Sometimes you need to find a safe place to go, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And call them up a couple hours later and still blah. So get it off your chest. Go ahead. You know, it may or may not make you feel better, but what you can do in the midst of your rant, in the midst of your venting, or whatever word you use when you need to go blah, 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 is to acknowledge that you are not at peace with yourself and God in that moment. That has to be part B of the rant. Oh, I'm ranting about this, and I'm not at peace. And my friend helped me find my way back to peace. You got to have one person at least in your life that when you're in the midst of the yuck, you can call them and they can remind you of the truth. Because we latch on to things as though this is what is and it's always going to be and I can't see an end to it, and all things are temporary, even our attitude about them. So notice how when we are describing the way people speak sometimes, they were barking at me like a dog. He was roaring like a lion. Oh, that group of women clucking like chickens. Anybody ever been around more than five or six chickens at a time? God bless them, they are talkers. They just talk and talk. Burr, 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 burr. Yeah. It was pretty good, wasn't it? Did I get it, Leslie? Yeah. Burr, burr. And I have been a part of some nonprofit organizations that were comprised mostly of women. And when we'd have our big gala events and everybody would be getting ready to go into the ballroom or the meeting room or whatever, and it's like 150 to 300 women. Oh. I've never been to a commercial chicken farm, and I don't ever want to go to one. The closest I've experienced is that. Because we women can tend to get just a little louder and a little higher and a squeakier. It's good for us to bring us back down. Do you know, even when women are in labor, their coaches will advise them to let their moans be in a low tone, not a high pitch, because that vibration is calming. So notice when you're upset about something and your voice, your vocal cords start to tighten up and you're really tense and your voice gets maybe a little bit higher, even you guys, you gentlemen, gets a little bit higher, just think about bringing your voice down to this tone right here. Why do you think other faiths practice the Om? Because of that vibration. So all of our words need to have a mindfulness about them. Catch yourself if you say, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm so angry. That's a temporary condition. Acknowledge it as such and move on to the next part that moves you forward. The peace of God resides in me. Parentheses, despite my anger. The peace of God resides in me. And all is well. I open my mind and heart that so that I might see the solution, the resolution, the peace that comes from this situation. And then you wait for it. Now, I do know that we have a tendency as human beings to grab it back. Say, well, that didn't work. I'm still angry. So affirm again. Affirm again. Take a walk. Throw a basketball. Do something that changes the flow of your energy. You know, when we're stressed, we produce a chemical called cortisol. And sometimes when we're stressed, we just need to get our bodies moving to get that cortisol released. Drink more water, you know, get some rest. Let that cortisol begin to come out of your body. There's a distinction I want to make as well, because so many people in this community and beyond here are in the recovery community. That one of the first things that you say when you're in a meeting is, hello, my name is such and such, and I am, I'll just say, an addict. Now, I've had people question me about doing that in their meetings when we're talking about the I am as a description of our godliness. The I am, let's say I am an addict. That's the small letters. I am an addict. That's acknowledging a current condition that we work day by day by day, one day at a time. So it's okay to acknowledge that because, and I'm telling you this, because it's important for us to be humble and to be aware of ourselves and to acknowledge that with which we struggle. That's important. But there's another step that says, I came to believe that God is my solution. I came to believe that. And you say that is your I am. I am, in the midst of God, my source. I am recovery. Do not be defined. Do not be defined solely by your addiction, your health, your relationship, your age, your color, what else, what kind of clothes you wear, what people say about you, what you say about yourself. Do not be defined by those things. Those are temporary and fleeting identifications. The I am, the truth of you, speaks words of power. And so watch your mouth. Watch what comes out of that mouth. You know, even Jesus said something about either say yay or nay. Don't be lukewarm or I'll spit you out. You ever get a nice drink of water and the tap wasn't quite as cold as you thought it was? And it's like, that cold, cool, refreshing drink of water is more like tepid, you know? And you're just like, oh, not what I was expecting. Say your words with strength. It's either yes or no. An authentic no in your life empowers all your authentic yeses. Yes? So yes, speak words if you need to set boundaries in your life. Speak words that create for you that which you want to have in your life. I had a very dear friend who died in the early hours of Valentine's Day. She spoke words that I heard over 12 years ago that made a difference in the way I wanted to live my life. She spoke words that were so powerful, so authentic, so humble, so humorous, so clear. And I thought, I want what she's got. I want to be able to speak those kind of words with that kind of power. And so she was a tremendous, tremendous influence on my life. Probably one of the best souls I've ever known. And her body got tired and it was time for her to move on and do some work in another realm. And I really think, knowing who she is, she knew that her body could no longer do what her spirit wanted her to do. So she had to let the body go and go do it elsewhere. So clear about that. So God bless Terry, my friend Terry. May her journey continue to be as delightful and beyond as it was here. But it was her words and the intention behind those words. And if you can't feel a full intention on the affirmations that you speak, the things that you want to have in your life, then you fake it until you can make it. Yes? Get yourself in the practice of speaking those words. And the belief will come if it's not there already. If you can't say, I am a child of God with conviction, then just practice it for a little bit. Go in your closet and whisper. I am a child of God. Just say it now. I am a child of God. Now I want you to lower your voice just a little bit so you can feel it right down here in your chest. Now together, I am a child of God. Do you feel the power in that? That is the truth of who you are. And you're sitting amongst all these other childs of God. And we draw our strength from each other that way. So I want you to find the distinction between I am and I am. I am is our human condition. I am is our spiritual condition. Big difference. So watch how you go about your day. If you're a glass half empty person, Well, you probably wouldn't be here. But if you're a glass half empty person and you want life to prove to you that it's good, I suggest you change your minds, your mind and your words. I suggest you do that. Because, just as the Daily Word says, we are given much more good than we have worked for, karmaed our way into. We're given much more good than any retribution for anything that we might have done differently. We have much more good. That's where the balance is. That is grace. So I'm going to call to mind one last thing. I think one last thing. In the Ten Commandments, ba-boom. You know, I'm going to pull out a little Bible every now and then, so. It said, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, in the words of the King James English. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Well, I grew up thinking that means you never say that word, you know. I thought it meant don't curse. But let's look at it in a different context. If the words that come from your mouth are creative words inspired by God, inspired by Spirit, inspired by your truest self, then you are speaking words of truth that are God. If you're speaking words that affirm your human condition, that are complaining, that are whiny, then you're taking God's name in vain. Do you see? I hadn't thought about that until sometime around 1:30 this morning. Taking God's name in vain. Oh, my goodness. That means not being deliberate about the way we use our innate, God-given creativity through our words. So if you're going to speak, make it godly. Now, you don't have to go around being soft-spoken and holy. Please don't do that. Please don't. People will laugh at you. And you'll give our church a bad reputation. Oh, you know, those Unity people, they're just so. But speak your truth. We talked about it yesterday in the chaplain training, that sometimes you can be out in the world somewhere and you see somebody who's having a bad day. Or suddenly you're standing there with a presence of openness and the Spirit of God all over you. And somebody opens themselves up to you because they see and feel that energetic exchange. And it's so easy to just say, you know, my friend, what's your first name? I'm going to walk around with you in my heart the rest of this day, and as long as you need me to, and I'm going to hold that good thought for you. Why not do that? You don't have to say, I'm going to pray for you. You are. But what you can do is let them know that you hear, and you're going to hold a higher vision of them than they're having for themselves at the moment. Have you had somebody do that for you? Do you know what a valuable gift it is to receive it and a valuable gift to give it? And I'll stand here today and say to you that whatever you're experiencing today, it is a temporary human condition, including your attitude about it. You may have a chronic illness. You may have something that's going to trouble you for the rest of your life. And that is not the total sum of who you are. You are a person of power. You are a person who has the tool of words to speak your truth into the world. If you're going to speak, let it be of God living in you. Okay, are we clear on that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Just had to preach a little today. Because Della told me to. Thank you, Della. I think she might be standing right here. I think she's patting me on the back of, yeah, you preach it, sister. We're just raising our awareness, my friends. We're just taking practical steps in our lives to live more fully, more fulfilled, more in tune with God. That's what we're doing. So I'd like to hear, if you have a chance, drop me an email, see me next Sunday, and let me know what you noticed about your words during this last week. Let me know what you find out about how you're using them. And discover how things begin to shift in here and in here, especially in here. Okay? Okay, we're going to do this. Bring your hands together. You know, this just helps us know that we're connecting to the vibration of our own bodies. That we're opening ourselves up to a place of strength and power deep within us. That still point. And that's where we feel or think. God. I want you to take all the things that are swirling around in your mind right now. Questions you might have, like, what is she talking about today? How do I do this? Where have I used my words less than lovingly? Where have my words come from somewhere else besides the God source? Am I bringing joy to the world? Am I bringing compassion to the world? Am I bringing peace to the world? Am I creating my life the way that I want it to be? Take all those questions now and just let them drop down into that still place deep inside you. And just dwell in that still place for a while. And if your mind gets busy again, just think the words deep within you, I am. I am. Your soul already knows this truth. Your life already is enough. And the manifestation of that is coming to fruition right now. Wait upon God with gratitude. Wait upon God with assurance and faith. Let your questions be at peace within you. Give thanks silently now for that person in your life, that not only allows you to let go of all the things that trouble you with a listening ear, but they also bring you back to the truth. Give a silent thanks to that beloved one or ones. Think of that one person in your life who has spoken words of truth and beauty and power that shifted you, that began to make a difference in your life, and give thanks for that person. Carry them with you in this week ahead as a model and an example of what we strive to be. This is you claiming your place in the universe. I am. Let's speak those words together quietly. I am. And again, I am. Now with just a little more power behind it, I am. Yes, you are. And so it is. Amen.